Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. I need to start with a little bit of a disclaimer. Apparently, I'm in a little bit of a mood this morning. I'm not apologizing, I'm just warning you. It's become apparent to me over the last several years that unfortunately, Lutherans in general are becoming biblically illiterate, which is to say that we think we know something that the Bible says, when in reality what we think the Bible says about a topic and what it actually says, it's been run through our culture a couple of different times, and so it's not right. As example, I'm sure there are those of us here today who have said or thought at one time, God helps those that help themselves is in the Bible. It's not. That's Poor Richard's Almanac. Thank you, Benjamin Franklin. So when we get a passage like what we have today in Mark, we don't necessarily grasp how offensive this passage was into the people in Jesus' day. Because in the first century, women were property. And children, as Pastor Liz told us in her message a couple of weeks ago, children were non-people. They were invisible to society. The people who are questioning Jesus, they're trying to trip him up. They want to get him to say something, anything, that will go against not only the law of Moses, but will go against the popular sentiment as well. And so they're asking him this loaded question, thinking, hoping that he will somehow mess it up and implicate himself by giving an improper answer. Instead of faltering, though, Jesus takes that loaded question, lobs it right back at them, and in the process lays out in very simple and straightforward terms that what God through Moses meant and what they are practicing are two rather different things. And in so doing, Jesus offends not only the people to whom he was speaking, but probably the next 20 to 30 years of hearers of this message as well. Now, it doesn't really sound all that offensive to our 21st century North American ears, but the reason that this message is so astonishingly offensive to his audience is that Jesus is verbally giving equal rights to women. And he is acknowledging children as valid human beings. Jesus has the timidity to attempt to change the system. He's got the chutzpah to try to say that relationships, how we deal with one another, that how we treat fellow human beings, relationships are more important than following the letter of, in my opinion, a biased law, or ignoring human beings simply because they have different plumbing or haven't lived long enough. I mean, who does this Jesus think he is? He's an unemployed, itinerant, homeless, manual laborer, carpenter, and he's questioning the status quo? Where does he get off saying that women are to be treated equally and that children are worth the notice of adults? They're asking him a loaded question simply to knock him down. Let me ask all of you this question. How do we treat one another? I was told about something that happened here at Trinity just this last week. You might remember we received new members last Sunday. And out in the gathering space, there was a table with a bunch of material on it for the new members, information on all of the different ministries that are going on, different ways that the new members could get involved. And I was told that a member, a longtime member, walked up and saw all of this material and asked what all of this was about. And when explained that, well, this is material for the new members, but you're more than welcome to help yourself with it, that I was told that this member responded with something along the lines of, well, I've been a member here for X number of years, and I know everything that I need to know about Trinity. Really? I know everything I need to know about Trinity. Did you know that we have 15 AA groups that meet here Monday through Friday, as well as Al-Anon, Gamblers Anonymous, and other support groups? Altogether, we have 30 outside organizations that use our facility Monday through Friday. Or how about the fact that the Harrisburg Youth Symphony and the Harrisburg Singers use our building for rehearsal space? Do you know that we have over 100 children in the preschool that's been a part of Trinity for more than 40 years? Hopefully you're aware that through all of your generosity, Trinity has been able to give over $216,000 in benevolence to over 30 organizations last year. Now, you're all aware that on Sunday mornings we have four times of worship. Hopefully you also know that we have Thursday night and Saturday. Thank you. They were a little slow at 8:30 to respond with that. But did you know that with those six times of worship, for the first 9 months of this year, we have averaged 727 people to attend worship each week? Or that it takes 75 people, 75 volunteers, musicians, sound tech people, communion assistants, assistant worships, communion assistants, assisting ministers, that's what I'm trying to say, acolytes, 75 people each weekend in order for worship to flow smoothly. Are you cognizant of the fact that giving has remained stagnant for about the last 10 years? And because of that, the council has had to slash and slash and slash the budget to the point where the staff was on a wage freeze for 3 years simply because giving to the budget would not support any increases. I know all that I need to know about Trinity. Did you know all of that? Because I had to look it up in the 2017 annual report, the Trinity Today, and I went and looked at our website as well. I had to figure that all out. So let me ask us all again. How do we treat one another? Now, I know that some of you here do not agree with or you don't like the proposed changes that the Capitol Appeal is striving to bring about. And you know what? That's okay. You don't have to like it. Now, personally, I hope you will give something to it, because I think that the changes that we're talking about, bringing to the nave to make it more accessible for those with mobility issues, that what we're talking about as far as security issues throughout the rest of our 60-year-old building, I think those are important and that they will benefit all of us. But if you don't support it, that's okay. I'm still going to be your pastor. But I've also been told by a couple of people that there are those of us, members here at Trinity, who have said, I don't like these proposed changes, so I'm going to stop putting anything in the offering plate. Seriously? There are those who will come here to Trinity, who are members here, who will take part in worship, will take part in our education programs, the various ministries that we offer, our education, whatever else, programs and ministries that are not tied to the capital campaign, programs and ministries that will continue regardless of what happens with the capital campaign. And I am told that there are those of us here at Trinity who have chosen to cut back on their offerings or stop giving outright altogether because they do not like or agree with the proposed plans. I'm told that there are those of us who come, they listen to this great music that Tim and the choir put on, or that Debbie and Faith X do every week, that come and take part with our education, our sup and studies, who come here, sit in the air conditioning on a muggy Sunday morning, or when it's cold outside, enjoy the heat, and they don't help cover those ongoing daily expenses. Is that how we treat one another? If you've ever been in my office, I wouldn't recommend it. It's kind of scary. But you'll realize that I am not all that organized. I have piles of paper. I've got stacks of books. There's a whole bunch of animals who sit on the shelf behind me. It kind of scares me. But you won't be surprised when I say that at home I'm not a whole lot better. That on my nightstand, just last week, I found a little laminated card. I don't know where it came from. I don't remember if somebody gave it to me, if it came in the mail. But somehow or other, I was using it as a bookmark, and I found this little laminated card. It's from Mockingbird Ministries. Mockingbird Ministries is an organization that, according to their website, seeks to connect the Christian faith with realities of everyday life in fresh and down-to-earth ways. I've read some of their publications. I've listened to some of their podcasts. It's an organization. They're striving to help everyone learn how to best express grace in their day-to-day living. My little card says this. It's a quote from their executive director, David Zoll. Christianity now is in crisis, in large part because people have marked it as a religion of good people getting better, when in fact, it is a religion of bad people coping with their failure to be good. Our lesson from Mark is not an easy text. It's a text about relationships. How do we treat one another? It's a text that reminds us that we are not good people, but that rather we are indeed bad people striving to be better. Jesus comes and says he wants us to be better, that we are called to be better. God wants us to have healthy relationships with one another. But we don't learn all that easily, do we? That's why Jesus had to say, as we've heard in our lesson this morning, because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote this commandment for you. But do you also remember what Jesus said in John's gospel? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Or, as David Zoll said, Christianity is a religion of bad people coping with their failure to be good. Let's keep striving to be good. So let me ask you this loaded question. How do we treat one another?